Coming up today on the show, we are thankful for a plethora of Disney news to talk about on this Thanksgiving week on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome everyone to episode 476 of Traveling with the Mouse. My name is Adam, and I am joined by the pardoned turkey this year, John.
The pardoned turkey. Okay.
I don't know.
I haven't had my turn yet. It's my turn.
What is that from?
You don't recognize it?
I didn't. Is it Thanksgiving related?
It's really not. I was just thinking of it because I was didn't know whose turn it was to host.
Would it help you if I said, I have a mind to take Anne at the Elm?
Oh, is this Muppet Treasure Island?
No.
Oh, the other treasure
you know, I can't believe you don't know it from that. How do you not know this? Blackbeard's ghost.
Oh,
whenever they're in the car. Oh,
in the car.
I should have started with, I know when you would have been. Yes, I should have started with that.
So yes.
What sort of croft be this we're cruising in?
Now that I would have gotten immediately, yeah.
This croft. Nobody, when he starts to take over, he says, I have a mind to take hand at the Elm.
Yeah, when you said it like that, I was like, wait a minute, I know this line, but it escaped me.
But while he was driving, he was like, hey, I haven't finished my turn yet. It's my turn.
Right, right. Oh, yes, yes. Because he was...
I may have said it wrong at the beginning. I didn't say finished my turn. Yeah, that'd probably do it.
Either way, that wouldn't have helped. But great movie. We've referenced it a lot. So you're thankful for Blackbeard and his ghost. Are we thankful for all the Disney news, though? I kind of teased that in the very beginning, but are we thankful for some of the news we got? Probably not.
I mean, it's kind of a...
inevitable.
But it is what it is. We'll spread that line.
And it ain't what it ain't.
It ain't what it ain't. You know, I know you're probably going to get started with something else, but I'm still a little... you know, the comment from the CFO. What's his name again?
Pepsi guy.
Yeah, the Pepsi guy. The comment from Pepsi guy.
Said, Hugh Johnston.
Hugh Johnston, that's right. I don't know why I couldn't think of that. Hugh Johnston. I mean, Hugh Johnston.
Hugh F. Johnston. Actually, is his name. It has a T in there, like Johnston, but yeah.
Anyway, it's the first time I realized that.
Yes.
When he makes the indication, right, that they feel like the opening of Epic Universe will only help their business.
Yeah.
Based on history. But I think we kind of touched on this, like, what history is he talking about? Because there really is no history of this nature, for starters. I mean,
nothing post-COVID either, which is another thing. It's like,
well, the only common denominator is Universal opened something and they actually benefited. Well, I mean, first of all, that was, what, a decade ago?
15 years ago, longer. Almost, right?
Yeah, like 15
almost
years ago.
14, 15, yeah.
Yeah, it's 2010, wasn't it? It's like 15 years ago, they opened Wizarding World, and supposedly they see a bump, or they don't, you know, they actually get a slight increase. Did it have anything to do with that or not? Who knows? Even if it did, the thing they're failing to factor in, Disney had four parks, yes.
Yeah.
I'm questioning if not whether the bump they got, you got to remember it was a lot cheaper to go to both of the places, for one thing.
Yeah.
But let's just take the scenario of... the cost of what it would go for one day at Magic Kingdom, right? In 2010 was it was $79, right?
I remember going.
It was also cheaper to go to Universal, which only had two parks at that point in time. Didn't even have the water park to contend with either over there at that point in time.
Or as many hotels as they're about to have.
Right. So it wouldn't cost them that much more to take a day or two in Disney World at that point in time.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
That's not the case today.
Yeah.
The one-day ticket price has more than doubled, and you can't say it's inflation because he actually did those numbers too, but inflation would put it at about $114, not $189.
Right. I think I mentioned that a few weeks ago too about how much just parking at the theme parks since 1992 when we saw it was $4 to park in 92. And even with inflation, I think it was like $15 or $18 or whatever it is in today's money. And they charge double that. So
I just think if they're truly using that as their measuring stick, it's apples and oranges. Yes. It's apples and oranges. It really is. It's not the same situation.
Yeah. It's also a different world post-COVID. Everything's different now. I mean, it's hard to measure what things were like and assume it's going to be the same. It's just a different world.
Well, technically, you know, Disney had a bubble, but in reality, their competition now has its own bubble.
Right. And they're offering incentives to keep people there, too, like Disney did, you know.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's hard to say that it's going to be the same, but you would think Disney is thankful on Thanksgiving for Epic Universe, the way they were talking about it.
Well, he was optimistic that what they have in bookings in 2025 already. Well, when it comes to Disney, a lot of people do book something in advance just to have something in place. I don't know how many of those ultimately end up getting canceled.
Right. I think a lot of people also book in advance, assuming there will be a discount that they can apply.
Right. That's another thing. Yeah. I've done that before myself.
Right. Especially summer, because they think, and I bet you a lot of people are assuming, the Disney fan folks, like I have been saying for a long time, that this summer is going to be cheap, or the best discounted summer we've seen in a long time because of Epic. And so Disney's going to have to roll out some discounts.
As a matter of fact, the time was 2019, or at least that was my trip scheduled, right? For September of 2019. I actually scheduled it in June of 2018. And at that time, I had picked an all-star resort, I think, and ultimately ended up getting Grandestino for almost the same price you could get Pop for right now.
I know.
Actually, you could get Pop for right now.
First few months, oh man, sub $200 to stay at Grandestino.
Yeah.
You'll never see that again.
Nope.
Not even this summer.
What's interesting is Universal took a similar approach with their brand new hotel, the Helios, isn't it? The one that's like at the inside the park, essentially.
Yeah.
For Epic Universe. It was just a shade over $200 or whatever it was. It was two something.
Introductory price, basically. Yeah.
Well, you know it's going to be more than that eventually.
Yeah.
Their flagships typically, like, I think the cheapest I saw, of course, theirs also includes the other deluxes include the express pass for your entire stay.
Right.
Started at like $530, I think.
Hmm. There was one broke down the financials that they talked about, and the one positive out of that is that it does appear that their capital expenditures for 2025 is indeed in line with what they had been saying, that it would end up being, you know, over 10 years being $60 billion. It's on track for that, assuming this is the first year that they've essentially doubled that CapEx from 2024. And a lot of that's obviously going to be the construction of Monsters, Inc., which we have that big story that just came out of that, where it's finally going to go. And of course, the Animal Kingdom, Dino Land, all that. And of course, Villains Land and Cars, whatever, at Magic Kingdom. So all this stuff is going to start being, the investment is happening now. So it took Disney 4 or 5 years to really start heavily investing again in the parks, but looks like it's happening. So that's a positive.
I
mean,
I don't have anything in front of me either, but the time period he's talking about, if we go back to 2010, the hotels that Disney had was essentially the same, except for what was not there in 2010.
Art of Animation, I guess, hadn't quite opened yet.
Had it not opened just yet?
I think it was 2012.
Okay, so they added a value since then, and Riviera has been added since then. What else? Has any more new resorts been added since then? I don't think so. I think that's it.
Only additions to existing resorts.
Right, they've done DVCs, right? So you get that. But as far as like actual adding hotels, do you know how many Universal has added in that same time frame?
More.
Yeah, more.
Yeah.
They didn't have Cabana Bay at that point in 2010. They did not have Aventura at that point in 2010. I'm pretty sure they had what they consider almost like their Caribbean beach. What's the name of it?
What's the
it's
one?
It's kind of like their only. It's kind of like their only mod resort. And why can't I think of the name of it right now? Anyway, they have that one, and then they've added Endless Summer Resort since then, and they're adding the Terra Luna and Terra Nova, and the Helios for
Sapphire Falls.
Yes, that's the one I was trying to think of. Sapphire Falls. I don't know why I couldn't think of that. But that was already there prior to 2010, was it not? I think it was. But the others I just named were not. So they've added one, two, three. I mean, if you count the Endless Summer ones as two, because they have two sides, that's technically four, six, seven, right? If you count them that way. If you take it away, it's at least five since that time period. They've created their bubble in this time period is what I'm getting at. And they're just one park difference as far as theme parks go now.
The landscape is a lot different than it was 15 years ago. That's what we're saying. And
yeah, I just don't understand why they don't see that. But we're going to get into some other things they don't see, apparently. So,
yeah. Well, one thing that everybody can see now and didn't seem like it took a big investment, but maybe it was part of this capital expenditures increase. Soarin', out of nowhere, they updated not only the ending to current Epcot with the, you know, the planter that looks like a planter of some sort, but also the Eiffel Tower is no longer the Leaning Tower of Eiffel.
Yeah, it looks... Have you watched a video of it?
I have. They clearly changed the angle, and you don't fly directly over it. You kind of stay far away from it. So
yeah, I've noticed in a couple of those, it seems like the view like expanded, like it was wider, or like they've made it, they took a wider angle maybe. Did they just adjust film itself, I guess? How'd they do that? I mean, that's digitally maybe?
I don't know. I think they just...
Surely they didn't reshoot it.
Well, it may have been a digital shot anyway. It could have been a live shot, but they did for the first film.
Yeah, I mean, they had to film a lot of it, actually.
Yeah. It's hard to say for sure, but they definitely didn't follow the same path as the first one, so it stayed farther away.
But the one thing you can tell... this would be like nitpicking now. But I noticed when you see the pyramid, it was still kind of angles. It was still kind of wonky, I guess.
So, yeah, not all of it.
Nobody noticed that before. They just always noticed the tower. That's all they ever talked about. Now they'll always talk about the pyramid.
Yeah, exactly. That was definitely the most obvious one. There was the Eiffel Tower, but the pyramid definitely, and the hot air balloon. Also, if you're on the far sides, it looks a little wonky, but I think those are the main ones, but they addressed the one that everybody was talking about. So
it's funny because it's almost like they just made it where it's like, hey, we're just flying well above the Eiffel Tower instead of right up to it now.
Right. We're flying near the Eiffel Tower.
Not right up on it. Yeah. But I guess that was the only way that they could find to fix it. But it seemed like there were some other shots that they'd made them wider and further away too in the early scenes for some reason.
Yeah,
I don't know if there was other things.
Study it again just to see it. But
anyway,
yeah, the big one that still is, you do fly right over the pyramids, like you said. That's the one that still has some tilt in it if you're on the side. But also the ending scene, they clearly waited until, I wonder if they, I remember last, when we were there, there were drones flying, but it was during the day, so I wondered if they had waited until one evening and they shot that. Because it does look like it's real, not like a digital shot.
Is that the image, like the old Epcot symbol? Is that really what the stuff on the ground lights up to show?
Well, it's a good point, because the lights don't ever work. So
right.
If they work, that's what it was.
Is that what it was supposed to show? I mean, who was ever going to see that, first of all?
Yeah.
Because it's so big. It covers such a big area. Even when you're standing there, the only way you could see it is if you're flying over it anyway.
Yeah,
that's
point.
What it truly was meant to do.
Yeah. It really illuminates the planter that looks like a... Anyway.
It's almost like they were trying to do something you could see from the air once again, like they did with the studios originally, which because of the different changes over the years, it's harder to see. But
Yeah.
The Mickey used to be more obvious, let's put it that way.
Right. They never really said anything. It just sort of happened. And all of a sudden it was like, hey, they fixed it. People just realized it when they were riding the ride. And it's a tier one multi-pass.
So we're getting into your selections now.
Kind of.
Because you're a week out, right?
Yes, I did my selections for the next week and or this week, whatever, however you want to say it. I was not thrilled with the tier system again, you know, because I think it's even worse than the FastPass Plus tiers. Of course, they had three tiers, didn't they, at some of the parks?
The only one that didn't, well, Magic Kingdom didn't have a tiered system for FastPass Plus, correct? So, if I remember right, they didn't have a tiered system, or were they the only one that had a tiered system?
Yeah, because they had so many.
Or was it the other way around?
I think Hollywood Studios definitely still had one, and Epcot did.
Okay, hang on. Yeah, it was that way, because they didn't have a tiered system. That's what it was. Yeah,
but now they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now they do. So, you're saying Soaring Beyond. What were the tier ones again? Because I've actually had to pick these, but I also had to cancel.
Gosh, I'd have to look. Yeah. Soaring is in there. Test Track, even though it's not available. Ratatouille, Frozen.
Uh-huh.
That's all I can think of at the moment. I have to look to see.
Yeah.
I can see them.
And of course, Guardian's still individual, so.
Right. Anyway, so it was fine. Hollywood Studios, like, Tier 1, Rock and Roller Coaster, of course, Smuggler's Run, Runaway Railway, and of course, Slinky Dog. I guess the only good thing about having so many tier ones is, you know, as soon as you tap into anything, it unlocks so you can book another tier one, even if you tap into a tier two. So that's helpful to have you where you can just.
The tiers only matter in your initial selections.
Right. So
I think the reason for that is to try to help with availability because you're booking further out than the same day.
Except Slinky Dog was already in the last hour, 7 days out. And so booking.
Yeah, but it'll have availability same day, I'm pretty sure.
I don't know.
It might be harder. It might be harder during the time period you're going, but I think it can be found if you're devoted. Yeah.
I think, of course, I grabbed that one because, for one, we're going to be doing like second half of the day when we go to Hollywood. So. Mm-hmm. I do want to ride Slinky at night, which was what we tried to do in the summer, but the daylight was so long that we just couldn't make that happen.
I think the only time that I've ridden Slinky Dog in the dark, it was technically early morning.
Oh, like pre-sunrise.
Whenever they did that, remember, for Galaxy's Edge and all that?
Yes, yeah. Those pre-dawn ones, yeah. That's true. I think I've done that one once, too, back in 2019 when it was that, but.
And they opened at like 6 a.m.
Yep. But yeah, so I did book the late Slinky just to have it. Because I think you'll have a better chance at getting the other tier ones same day. But Slinky's probably going to be the hard one, except for maybe the drop times if it exists anymore. So we'll find out. But moving on, in the same vein, another story that broke recently is the Premier Pass, which I looked at it because it is now available for all guests, regardless of what resort you're staying at.
And that was a pretty quick change, wasn't it?
Yeah. All resort guests, I should say, not any guests. It's Walt Disney World Resort Hotel guests. So value, mods, and of course, deluxes already were.
And it includes the Dolphin and the Swan and Swan Reserve.
Which I think was included before, if I remember right. Mm-hmm. But yeah, all those, any Disney property resort. So
basically, the only thing it hasn't expanded to so far is the Hiltons, pretty much, or whatever. The ones that get the early hours, right?
Right. So I looked at it. It was like almost $1,400 for one day for my family of four to do Hollywood Studios Premier Pass. And that day that we're going, we're probably going to be in the park 5 or 6 hours. So I would have had to pay $1,400 to try. And I probably could have ridden everything in 5 hours if you just go from ride to ride. But versus the $116 that I paid for getting the multi-pass. So that's a huge gap in
right.
price of.
And the only difference really is you don't have to use the app.
Yeah, you have to work harder.
Not much, though. Let's be honest.
Well, to get it done in 4 or 5 hours, I mean, for a party of four.
You've already got one of the hardest ones to get. So you see what I mean? That's my point.
But what will be left by the time I get there in the afternoon?
You know, one thing I think would find interesting is just say if you plan on park hopping, right? If it saves you more time because it's the cheaper of the premier passes, right? To get Animal Kingdom. And you could blow through Animal Kingdom with a no limit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Line skipper. With, you know, you can skip all the lines. You could blow through Animal Kingdom in no time.
True, but it's like...
But would you spend $130 per person at the cheapest to do it?
Because I think multi-pass, I think it was only $17, $18 a person for the multi-pass. Yeah. I think it's because it's still like not going to be hard.
Well, I was going to say, because the only two things that you're really going to use it for are... Flight of Passage and Navi River Journey, right?
Right. So,
which maybe the Safari. Extra.
Yeah. You have to get the single pass for Flight of Passage on top of the multi-pass.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
So, it adds
I thought the Premier one included it, though. That was the one thing that we've been
The Premier does. I'm saying multi-pass, I said, was like $18, but it's probably that plus $13, $14 for
Flight of Passage.
Flight of Passage, so. So you have to factor that in. I was not going to pay $25 for Rise of the Resistance. I'm just going to see if at the end of the night I can jump in line
and get
on it, because it is not worth $25. It's
especially since you've done it several times already. It's worth the gamble to get in line in the last hour. And then if it breaks down, no big deal.
Yeah. And then if it breaks down, they should give me a multi again.
Hopefully. You got in the regular line, though. Why would they give you a pass?
Well, because it broke down.
Give you a pass if it breaks down on the regular line?
Mm-hmm. They did they did last time when we...
Never mind.
They give you the same level of return pass anytime,
So what if you went there? So what if you went there and didn't even buy like any lightning lanes and you just got in line and it broke down? They give you one to use for free?
Because you spent time waiting in line and you didn't get to do the attraction. So they'll give you something,
I wonder if it only works for that attraction in that case, or is it still a multi-experience if you didn't have if you didn't purchase the Lightning Lane? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's still, this would be tier level, so obviously Rise would be, they'd give you a tier one where you could ride other tier ones as well, but if it was like Toy Story Mania and it broke down, they'd probably give you something that would be tier two level, where you could get on Toy Story Mania or the other tier twos.
Yeah. I tell you, depending on the number of people in your party, obviously if you could get a value resort, since they've opened it up to everything, and then use Premier Pass, would probably cost you less than staying at a deluxe resort in some cases.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, you wouldn't get the deluxe accommodations, but you wouldn't pay the price.
The one thing different there is you're still just paying for one day, one park, one day. So that's the thing that's still probably, not to try to compare it to the competition, that's one thing the competition still holds over them, is it's if you get a hotel that gives you the option of theirs. Never mind. Yeah, that's not quite the same thing, because you still, if you got a value resort there, you would have to pay per day you'd have to choose a day to buy it. So it's kind of the same in that sense.
All right. Yeah.
Only if they start including it with certain deluxes, which they might do in the future. Like, they probably do it if you got the most expensive, some of the more expensive room maybe types at the deluxe resort, they might include it.
Right.
Like, if you got a bungalow, maybe.
Right. Pre-COVID, didn't they, if you were club level, you could buy additional fast passes?
Fast passes. Yeah. You could essentially just buy them.
Right, I think.
Or was it included?
That's what I was trying to remember. It used to be, I thought it was like $50 and you got there were $10 a piece or something. I forgot.
But it was something like you could buy like two extra or something like that that you could get ahead of time or something like that.
Or you could buy a lot. I don't remember. That was pre-COVID. But it was like, if you're a club level, which again, you're paying a lot already. So
since we've gone through a few phases, I think of the paid system so far, I actually like the original one because it was same day and you just chose things as you went.
I really do.
Yeah.
I think that worked better. I know people complained about not being able to.
I agree. Do it in advance. It was much more of a level playing field for everybody because everybody had to get up at 7, book their first genie and move. You know, once you got there, you could use them in continuous or you could stack them and every 2 hours get another one and show up later in the day and just start riding stuff. So.
The only thing I think I might would have changed in that, though, like we were saying, like everybody still do same day, but be able to pick more than one at a time, maybe at least two.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That could have made things a little, like if they did the tier system, which that's the one I hate, is you're forced to pick two tier twos at places like Epcot where it's like, I don't really want to.
You don't even need it in some cases.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want Spaceship Earth, but that was the only other good option because it's like Imagination, the Seas,
or Living with
Pixar
Land.
Film Festival, or Land is a tier one.
Wait a minute, Living with the Land is?
Or it was not available. I can't remember.
No, I'm going to say Living with the Land is a tier two. It's got to be.
Yeah, but for whatever reason, I couldn't pick it.
I don't know.
Yeah, it just wasn't available for whatever reason.
The point being, though, that you're talking about is you don't even need a multi-pass for any of these attractions most of the time.
Right.
Except for
Rainy's Creation. I have to pick one, which that was the thing about FastPass Plus I hated was it was like you didn't have to necessarily book three, but it's like you felt like, well, I have the option to book three. I need to book three. But it's like out of the tier two choices, I don't want any of these. So.
Yeah, there would be times with FastPass Plus that you could start the day with actually nothing booked and still be fine.
That's true too, yeah. Because as we learned on our first challenge run, Kent was running alongside us and he dropped all of his
original passes
so that he could get, it was Primeval Whirl. And we were sitting there thinking, well, maybe, should we have done that? And of course, 15 minutes later, when he's off the ride and we're still in line, we're like, yeah, we might should have done that. I wonder if this is a bad idea. And of course, end of the day, I think we only got 36 that first time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, if you can save 5 minutes now, save 5 minutes now. It adds up. Anyway.
There you go.
What else?
We spent a lot of time on these first few subjects.
We really did. So we should probably move on to the big ones because there are basically three big ones. I guess we should start with Monsters, Inc. We finally have updated concept art with the exact location of where it will be. And it is going to be Muppets Courtyard area.
Yeah.
So we knew it was either going to be this or Launch Bay most likely, which is kind of interesting that Launch Bay area animation courtyard is still no man's land. There's really nothing great there.
Yeah. So that also answers our question, is they're going to already revamp a restaurant that they've had not very long, right, in Pizza Rizzo. And it looks like Mama Mill Roses will be gone in favor of, what's the name of that restaurant? The one with the octopus as the chef, right? The sushi chef. Some Housens, Mira to Housen,
Harryhausen's.
Harryhausen's. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, and the concept art, it's basically where Mama Mel Rose's is now, is that. So it looks like there'll be a quick service option as well. That's where Pizza Rizzo is. It's going to be something, but it's not clear what that is from the concept art.
No, not real clear. Other than it has a sign up there with Mike and Sully.
Yeah. Of course, that means that Muppet Vision 3D is going to be going away, at least from that location. Disney did say that they are having conversations, it said, about how to preserve the Muppet Vision 3D film, at least. Some have speculated that means it might just show up on Disney Plus where you could watch it. That would be the least they could do. I wonder if they could repurpose it, because we'll talk more about Muppets in a little bit, but I think there's definitely some places they could just move it and still have the show. But
you know, listen, it's an interesting concept about taking the film and putting them on like Disney Plus. They could probably get some views out of even the older ones that they haven't put into place yet, like Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, even maybe. Yeah.
Captain EO again, bring it back to.
They could probably put
Magic Journeys or some of the others. Yeah, that would be awesome, actually.
I don't know. Magic Journeys probably not missed by too many people, but.
But just to bring it back to where you could watch it, that'd be awesome. And the original film.
Soon to be, It's Tough to Be a Bug can be added to that extinct film, right?
Shoot, Impressions de France. I'd watch that other. Even though you can still see it like for 30 minutes a day or something.
Yeah, it's just been greatly reduced for some reason.
Yeah.
I was going to say, too, it looks like they're actually still going to use that area right behind it for the main attraction, like we had originally talked about, right?
Yeah, you mean for the coaster?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah, it's going to go in the very back, which looks to be they're taking over, like, what was some parking lot, I guess, cast member parking lot.
Right, they're cutting into it at the very least.
Yeah, cutting into it. And I was thinking about that, too. It was like, it seemed like it would have, at some point, been an expansion area for Galaxy's Edge. Just because
possibly.
You would think connecting Star Tours to Galaxy's Edge could make sense in some way, that they could sort of kind of combine the two in a way. But now this is sort of a wedge.
That throws
between.
It out the window.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's no cohesion whatsoever. It's like Star Wars, Monsters, Inc., and then more Star Wars.
More Star Wars.
That's like completely fragmented Star Wars experiences there. But
now, I will say this. One thing that's interesting on this concept art is there's a sign that advertises the Laugh Floor. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, it's on the top of that building on the left there, yes. They did say it would be a show or of some sort, right? I can't remember the exact wording they used. It didn't specifically say it would be Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor, did they? And the
no,
taking
they
over.
Didn't.
But it makes you wonder if it's moving.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the Muppets Theater looks like it's some sort of monsters-themed theater.
Right.
It looks like.
What the heck would they do in there besides like a different 3D show, like another 3D show?
If you zoom in on this concept art, one of the signs looks like it says late night screams. I can't tell what the other one says.
Is it going to be like a sci-fi dine-in thing where you have just like parody monster movies?
I guess it could be.
Or they're just going to show Monsters, Inc. movies on a loop? I don't know. There's only two of them.
Well, it looks like when it's all said and done, it looks like they're going to replace Muppet Vision 3D after all over here. Right, so they're talking about ways to save the film itself, but
yeah.
However, this probably, if you assume you're going here next,
yes.
What they're
yeah
the other thing they announced. Go ahead.
Yeah, we can go ahead and move to that one. The Rock and Roller Coaster is going to get the Muppets overlay, which is so Aerosmith's going away. Again, we've been talking about this for how many years that we knew at some point. Rock and Roller Coaster would get a re-theme.
Right.
Didn't necessarily think Muppets would be the re-theme, but
it was tossed around.
Yeah, we may have even brought it up ourselves too. But
I think it gathered traction actually on social media about using the Electric Mayhem in the Rock and Roller Coaster.
Animal.
And of course, if you give Disney this idea, then they're going to run with it because they don't have to pay fees to Aerosmith anymore. They just have their own IP in there.
Right. Yeah. How much money does this actually save?
Who knows? I don't know how much Aerosmith's getting paid for the last like 25 years.
Yeah, that's a good point. But to use their songs, I'm assuming they're getting some kind of royalty on it. I was thinking about this because Lightning McQueen's Racing Academy is closed. And you would think that they could just make this a new Muppets Courtyard because it's already kind of its own courtyard. Put Muppet Vision 3D there where Lightning McQueen was.
Yeah.
Make a new Muppets Courtyard.
I wonder if people would consider it blasphemy if they decided to update the film and put a new one there.
I don't know.
Versus doing the old one.
I think it would because of it being like Jim Henson's last project that he ever finished.
That he participated in, yeah.
Yeah. Because there's backstage footage, making of footage of Jim Henson doing a lot of the, puppetry, whatever you would call it, on this. And that documentary, crap, what's the name of it? I watched it. The Jim Henson documentary on Disney Plus.
That was on there not too long ago, wasn't it? I haven't seen it so far.
It's good. And it ends basically with that. They were showing him and Michael Eisner at MGM Studios, and they were talking about Muppet Vision 3D, and that was like the last thing he did. So,
interestingly enough, the last two things I watched on Disney Plus that was new were both rated R. So,
go figure on that one.
Yeah, I watched Deadpool and Wolverine.
Was it good?
It actually was pretty good.
I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah,
that's one of the two films that really helped Disney this year on the entertainment side, Inside Out 2.
Yeah, that was another one we watched on there when it first got released. Well, we watched it before. We watched it in theaters, but we, of course, watched it again when it got released on Disney Plus.
Speaking of theaters, actually this week I'm going to see Moana 2 in theaters the day it comes out.
Okay.
So
we haven't talked about when to go, but we might go this week too. It just depends. Yeah.
I don't really know much about it. I haven't really seen much on this. And it was kind of a surprise that it was coming out. It was like, oh, there's a Moana 2, by the way.
Yeah, the trailers, well, could it be because it was originally meant to be a series and they kind of shifted gears to make it a film?
Is this like a Toy Story 2 thing? It was originally going to be a straight to Disney Plus and they're like, make it a theatrical, maybe? I don't know.
I heard one review prior to it, people that got to do early viewings of it, that they were concerned about the fact that it was going to be a television show and they tried to do it in a movie. He was a little concerned about that fact. But when he actually got to see it, he was, happy with it. It was not, it didn't come across as he feared. Let's put it that way.
Like it was more of a cheaper kind of, that was my thought.
Think like back in the day whenever they made Aladdin the series or Little Mermaid the series or whatever.
Yeah. It was definitely a cheaper kind of feel to it.
Yeah. But I know what you mean. The trailers that you see for it even don't really show you much.
Yeah. There's not a lot of
give
the
away
story.
Much. I kind of like that though.
Yeah, in a way. But I'm kind of like all the other films, they kind of give you a whole lot more to go on. So
they'll like show you half the movie in the trailer.
I know. Maybe this is a good thing. Yeah. Anyway. The other idea I had for saving Muppets that I said was they should move Laugh Floor from Tomorrowland to the new Monsters, Inc. land and put Muppet Vision 3D in Tomorrowland. But to make it on theme, they should theme it to Pigs in Space. But most people...
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, my first comment when you told me that was... Right. Like, how many people are really going to remember Pigs in Space, though? Because it was essentially just a skit on the original Muppet Show. And they never got any further than that.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Unless you remember the original Muppet Show, which died in, like, the early 80s, right?
Yeah.
They finished up then.
Right. Yeah, it was...
You're not going to remember what Pigs in Space is, right? So...
Exactly. So, but, I mean, it was one of the most popular...
Can't you watch the original Muppet Show on Disney Plus?
Good question. I know.
Remember. I thought they had it out there.
It might be. It should be. If it's not, it should be. But that would be at least theme it to Pigs in Space. And then when you get in there, it's like the original Muppet Vision 3D. But
right.
Anyway. But I kind of hope they do move Laugh Floor over just so that they can put something new at Tomorrowland. Because,
yeah. The only reason I don't see that happening is cost, because of moving an existing attraction over there, even though there's not a whole lot to it, right? It's mostly screens, so I guess there's that.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it would be expensive, but
yeah,
I would be
afraid.
But
when they already have it, why would you move it just for the sake of moving if it's not going to add to the land that much?
Yeah. I guess you can make the same argument that they could have moved Buzz Lightyear over to Toy Story Land and Hollywood Studios as well, but they didn't.
Do you know what I ultimately think is going to happen?
Yeah, what?
You know how in Rock and Roller Coaster you have the scene where you're like the pre-show that's on a screen, basically, or it's on a screen?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get the full Muppet Vision 3D. You're going to get parts of it right there, and they're going to incorporate that somehow into the... You're just going to get parts of the original film used in what they do there, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, they
before you get on the ride. I think, I just knowing Disney...
That would be their nod.
It's probably going to be a throwback or a nod, not the actual film.
They could actually do some of the pre-show of Muppet Vision 3D, which I thought was still fun.
Yeah, they could do that. Yeah.
That too.
It still has some.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of funny skits in there.
Yeah, there's a lot they could do, but...
I think in coming weeks, I'm going to have to incorporate, as far as the line that I do whenever I get introduced, I'm going to have to incorporate some Muppet Vision pre-show.
At this point, yeah. Yeah, we'll have to.
I don't think I've even done that before. I can't believe I hadn't thought of that before.
Yeah, well, you've got a few more weeks to
throw it in. Now I have my time, yeah.
I guess it is fitting that the Muppets are doing this because most people who are fans of the Muppets are like older and our age, so... it has a height limit, and so younger kids aren't going to ride this, but younger kids don't really like the Muppets like we do, so, and Disney really hasn't been able to find a footing for the Muppets in the last 10 years or so.
Well, let's see. I'm just going to gauge
this.
They've
tried a lot, but
yeah,
not a lot they haven't really.
Have they, though? I mean, well, have they?
The Muppet Haunted Mansion, they tried like they tried to revive the show on like ABC. Remember, they tried to do like the new Muppet, what do they call it?
Yeah, but they didn't try to do it in the spirit of the original, I think. Mm-hmm. If they had done that, that might would have been better. They tried to go a whole different direction.
Yeah, they tried to make it like an actual like sitcom. Like an Alf type sitcom.
Slash talk show, didn't they? I mean,
I don't remember, but I watched it.
See, like the original Muppet show, I think they patterned it after shows like, for instance, the Carol Burnett show, right?
Mm.
You had, except for, you know, they had bits, but they also had her go out on stage and like in front of a live audience, like almost like a monologue,
right?
I guess prior to the bits, things like that. And the Muppets had the backstage thing, and they were actually putting on a show within a show.
Yeah,
right. So,
which was good.
And maybe that was dated, that format. So maybe they didn't want to try that again. But I think it's part of what made it successful originally. So,
yeah. Great moments in history. They tried that one again. I mean, they've done Muppet movies that were theatrical too. And, that did okay. But I don't know how, not like they used to be.
Yeah. I just think they kind of fell flat in comparison to the originals was the problem. Original stories.
I feel like they don't have the charm. Is that the right word that Jim Henson brought to it? He had like a quirky charm that hasn't really been there much since he died. Like, I think some of the movies in the 90s carried some of that, like the Muppet Christmas Carol, the Muppet Treasure Island. There was one or two others.
Yeah. But, you know, again, you were a little bit younger. I was a teenager at the time that Muppet Treasure Island came out, right?
Yeah.
And we still enjoyed that one.
Hmm. Yeah. That was post Jim Henson passing away, but...
They showed it on the cruise ships. I guess they may still do it. They showed it on Pirate Night on the cruise ships.
Yeah, I think that's the last time I actually saw it. And it was like, oh, yeah, this movie, it still was funny to me.
It's kind of neat seeing it on Funnelvision, isn't it?
Yes.
I remember when we were on the cruise a long time ago, my brother-in-law and I were just basically after the pirate thing was over, how they show Pirates of the Caribbean like late at night or whatever. I think I got past like the first couple of scenes before I fell asleep in the chair and eventually woke up and was like, I got to go to the room and go to bed. Like, I don't think I got very far into the film before I fell asleep in the deck chair.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I was watching several movies that cruise, that I went on very. Doesn't have a date yet for when Muppets is closing, but obviously if you're a fan, go see it now. And I'm going to have to go eat a Pizza Rizzo next or this week because I'm trying to think. I don't think I've really had Pizza Rizzo yet. So,
yeah, I'm going to have to make a stop in there and do like everything Muppets, I guess, whenever we go in January.
Yeah. Just give it one last, you know, look or first look like for that one.
Last hurrah.
And I, you know, we ate at Mama Melrose's earlier this year. So, like, it, actually, there's some cool old photos in there of early MGM Studios that, like, with Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, and George Lucas when they visited when Star Tours first opened. There's photos of them at Mama Melrose's. So, those will be going away, I would assume. So, that would be kind of... But other than that, I mean, that whole area is kind of pretty underutilized, especially since COVID. So, not surprised to see it go.
Yeah. There's sight gags all in there, too, by the way. Like, the first one you see when you first go in, if you're looking in the right place, it's like you must be shorter than this mark or something like that. And it shows where somebody, like, chipped off the... But from running into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
The arrow is pointing at it.
Yeah.
When you're first walking in the Muppet Vision.
Yes. Yeah. Muppet Vision. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. When you first walk in there, it says you must be shorter than this mark or something like that. And it has like where somebody knocked it, like I guess in a big Muppet, probably like Big Bird or something.
Right.
But
yeah. And I love the pre-show area too, Muppet Vision 3D. So I'll probably have to do that again too, just to say goodbye to it.
Yeah, you can definitely, when you watch that pre-show, it's one of the few that's left that gives you the 90s era like type gags, even late 80s type gags.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's like, a good point.
You know, Rizzo showing up in the Mickey suit, right? You know,
right. So, right. That, like that. That. Yeah.
Yes. And they did some of those.
What do they know?
Yeah. And they made some of these references like in Cranium Command whenever General Knowledge at the very end, he tells them like, what are y'all doing? You know, where do you think you are? Disney World, you know, you know, things like that.
Yeah. That so, kind of humor just isn't there today. But it's maybe they think it's too cheesy today, but
I always thoroughly enjoyed the pre-show for Cranium Command.
Yeah.
Good stuff. What now, Scuzzy, you taking a nap? He kept getting his name wrong.
Right. It's good stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, we missed a perfect opportunity when talking about pirates and Muppet Treasure Island to take a quick detour over to the treasure.
Oh, yes. Yes. Let's get
the Disney treasure.
I had a treasure. I always say that. The Haunted Mansion parlor, right? That was one of the big stories.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I got to see, from what I've seen so far, I'm already, much like I preferred the fantasy to the dream. Just from what I'm seeing this shape up to be, I think I'm going to prefer the treasure to the wish. I really do.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, the parlor looked pretty cool. What they did. Did you see the demonstration that they made in there, like with some of the
I didn't watch that yet, but I've seen the photos. It does look awesome.
I think I saw it on either Attractions Magazine or Attraction 360, one of those. You know, they always seem to get a lot of early stuff. I don't they must have like credentials or something that gets them a lot of the early stuff or allows them to go on roller coasters that normal people can't film on, things like that.
Right. Man, I'd love to sit in the Donald chair and have a libation.
The Donald chair?
Yeah, the chair that was where Hat Bark's ghost is now.
Oh.
That looks like Donald's face on it.
Okay. They have a lot of interesting looking cocktails, like as far as the presentation in there, but essentially it's just going to be expensive alcohol.
Yeah, it's like $20 cocktails. That's what basically they're all doing, is that?
Yeah. But the presentation and the just being in there and the hearing the voice come over, you know.
Yes.
Because Paul Frees, they did that part about Madame Leota in the presentation that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You need to see that.
I'll definitely watch it.
Get a feel for it, so to speak.
Wow.
Because the lighting changes during that and everything, you know, so yeah.
Oh.
It's all good stuff.
That looks like that would be a place I would be hanging out a lot, but again, it's probably going to be very busy, very popular. But
possibly. Yeah, see, I want to sit in that chair that looks like the one that's in the hallway scene. That's the one I want to sit in.
That's what I was talking about.
The Donald chair? Oh, I'm sorry. My bad.
That's the one.
How is it Donald? Is it supposed to look like... Oh, I guess it is Donald.
Yeah, look at his face. Looks like his face.
It looks like his face. And
yeah.
Is that in on purpose? Is that really what it was supposed to be?
Yes, I believe it's a hidden Donald.
A hidden Donald. That's the first hidden Donald. Okay. My bad. I guess I never knew that. I should have known that all this time, but I never really knew that.
Yeah.
I didn't think about it.
That was, it looks just like... But speaking of lounges and bars or whatever we're talking about, Oga's, I forgot about this story too, has food at Walt Disney World. Like actual edible food, not the Batu Bits or whatever they called it.
And all they had before?
Yeah, it was just like nothing. It was not good. And it was like $20 and it was like a little spread of... They also had that like petri dish of like green jello or something.
Okay.
It's what it was.
What do they call it? Yoda poop?
I mean, basically, that's what it looked like. Grogu poop. But it's a cheese roll, an umbaran cheese roll, and a thruster roasted bantha flatbread. So a thrusting bantha flatbread? Oh, I don't know. And they have a few new drinks, which all are, $18 or more. Karelian Spike Cold Brew. I'm not even sure how to pronounce them. The Psylop and a bloodied Rancor with candied meat. It's basically a piece of candied bacon stuck in the bloody Rancor.
Okay.
So if you want bloody meat thrusted into your drink. Anyway. But the flatbread is basically like a pizza, but looks weird, but I bet it's good. And then the other one looks like a pretzel with cheese kind of thing, but pretzel roll or something.
Uh-huh.
All way overpriced. But the Rodian ration is the one. That's like a petri dish of green stuff. Batu Bits was like weird snack mix.
Uh-huh.
But anyway. So this actually gives some actual food options, which has been lacking for 5 years at Oga's. Not that I'm bitter about that.
Do you think, maybe they waited until the novelty wore off and they didn't have as much attendance,
I guess,
before they tried to introduce this? Like, why would they introduce something if they didn't have to? Because it was still, you had to wait most of this time, right?
Yeah.
So
I always went the first several times. I ordered the Fuzzy Tauntaun, which was the one that numbed your lips. The foam was like numbing, but too many people, I guess, complained about it.
What was it, like Novocaine in there? Or?
Like something like that. But yeah, it literally would make your lips tingle and feel numb for a while. Yeah.
Alrighty then.
I liked it though. I thought it was a cool drink.
Having numb lips?
Yeah. I like feeling numb. I've become so numb.
Afterwards, if they had had food, if they'd actually had food options, then afterwards, where you've been kind of like Tim Allen in Christmas with the Cranks when he had the Botox injections?
You're fat.
Something like that, yeah. I mean, it's not that strong, but yes. I mean, I don't think they could legally give that to you that much of it, but anyway. I still think it's way overpriced for what it is, and the drinks weren't that great, but maybe these new, like the meat-stuffed Bloody Rancor drink, but it's $22.50.
Okay.
So, I don't know. Anywho, so new drinks there. We got new concept art again for the... what was that for the Pirate Lounge, which is opening in summer? This is the big thing that's opening this year, is the Pirate Lounge at Magic Kingdom.
Pirate Lounge and the Spaceship Earth Lounge, right?
Yeah, those two lounges and Test Track retheme is the only.
That's what they're doing to compete with Epic Universe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a ride that didn't work well for 20 years is getting rethemed. But it'll probably still break down, and it doesn't
operate
in the rain. So that's
what's it doesn't operate in the rain.
Epic Universe.
Now, to be fair, I would imagine with the amount of coasters that I've seen, there's probably going to be several of those that will go down in the rain. But
yeah, yeah, the outdoor, yeah, there's several outdoor coasters, yeah, that probably can't run in the rain at Epic. Yeah, do we want to talk about the this? It doesn't seem like a big story to me, but the everyone was talking about the thing about Bob Iger selling his stock options, which they were about to expire.
Yeah, it was so it was like, probably, but it's interesting though that he does it right after they do this thing where they managed to
right.
at least manufacture, legitimate or not, a report.
Right. To,
which,
right.
They lifts the stock price.
Good point. Because he had the whole 10 years, didn't he, to use these, but he waited until the last minute and it's like, maybe he forgot about him and was like, oh, we need to like pump up the stock price so I can sell these.
But to be clear, it's 40, what, $2 million worth of yeah. stock. However, it's not worth that much to him.
Yeah, he gets the difference, the profit, I guess, right?
Right. What was it? The strike price was $92.24 per share. Yeah. That was established back in 2014.
Yeah.
And the price that Iger sold for today, right? So,
which is somewhere around 115, something like that.
That's what we assume. So he's
assuming that
the report is that he's breaking home, bringing home $8.4 million, excuse me.
Yeah. So, like he needs it.
Well, I was going to say like $8.4 million. So,
that's
I
mean, nothing to him. That's chump change.
That's like me never working again.
Right. For him, that's but, like, what am I going to do with this extra 8 million? But yeah, I guess because he had to use it. I mean, it was going to expire, so I might as well use it. Right.
I think I would take that advice I saw from, I think it was Mark Cuban actually, when he says, talk about somebody that comes into a large sum of money, like the average person should really just put it in the bank and enjoy it, to, you know, live comfortably. Don't live too, you know,
right.
Don't get extravagant.
Instead of like Blackbeard, I spent it all in one week.
Yes.
It was a glorious week, though.
I would be perfectly fine just having the ability to live similar to what I am now and not have to necessarily
have to worry about anything
from here on out. I would be perfectly fine with that. I'm not greedy.
So if you had $8.4 million,
$4 million
right now, you would not do anything different.
Well, I mean, I'd do a couple of things different, but nothing's, you know, real extravagant. Like, I don't have any desire to have this gigantic house or anything like that. I might upgrade a little bit, but not much.
What if it was a Brewster's Million situation? You had to spend it all in like a certain amount of time.
In order to get even more money? Well, of course I could do that.
Yeah. So it'd be like the $42 million if you, spent the 8.4.
I spent the 8 million.
Whatever. Yeah. I could find a way to spend 8 million.
But you could, what was it? In Brewster's, he couldn't actually give it away. He actually had to
right.
prove that he used it to, like what he spent it on type thing.
How long did he have? I'm trying to remember. 30 days or something like that?
I can't remember.
Or a month, or I forgot what it was.
In today's world, though, it'd be real easy to spend that kind of money in a short amount of time.
Right. Yeah, it's like a non-movie. It'd have to be Brewster's Billions.
I forgot all the rules to it, but they said you couldn't give it away, and he could only gamble away so much of it, right? Up to a certain dollar amount or something.
I don't even
like
remember.
That. Yeah. The risk you do with gambling, though, is what if you win?
Oh, gosh. You have to double down and hope you lose, I guess?
Yes. I mean... But I was like, I feel like one of the rules was, I'd have to go back. It's been a long time since I've seen it, but I feel like one of the rules was he could only gamble so much of it, though.
I think
he wasn't allowed to gamble the whole thing.
In right.
Like he couldn't just say 8 million on like 5 black or something like that.
Yeah, it was
in
like
the roulette.
It's like 5% or 10, something like that. 10%
yeah,
or whatever.
It was only so much.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, that's a old movie. That.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there any other things we want to throw in here the last second?
I kind of would like to do this when we talk about Muppets.
Yeah.
Our friends at Archaeology, I'm giving them the credit here, so I don't think they would mind us using this. So they broke down about their breakdown about the Muppets, I think, is actually pretty spot on. I'm going to read it right quick if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
So here's the way they word it. It says, Disney doesn't care about the Muppets, but they are aware enough to know some fans do. By moving Muppet characters into the Rock and Roller Coaster, they removed the problem of Aerosmith, and in parentheses, it has old, have-to-pay licensing fees, not Disney IP,
right,
replacing it with something that costs Disney nothing, and gives them the ability to claim that they love the Muppets.
Yeah,
they proactively stifle fan complaints. No one rides Rock and Roller Coaster specifically for the music, so they lose zero riders while ostensibly making it more family-friendly. I don't know if I entirely agree with that. I think some people do ride it for the music they like, or part. That's a part of the experience, I should say. It's smoke and mirrors. Make no mistake, this is the cheapest route they could have chosen. And I totally agree with that.
Well, yeah, it's definitely true.
He says, as for monsters, this easily could have taken over the animation courtyard, which is basically empty. Good point.
Yeah. That and we've also made. Do with it. Yeah.
Right. The entire section of the park could be reconfigured to include Rock and Roller Coaster in it, and that could in turn be rethemed to fit. But apparently, two Monsters Inc. attractions are at least one too many. Instead of adding to the park, they are subtracting a wonderful and unique attraction. Muppets and monsters could coexist. There is no reason beyond money to remove one for the other.
Yeah.
Perhaps they are wise operational and or business decisions. We don't know, but don't get it twisted as to why they are happening. It's not because they listen to the fans. It is because this makes the park less expensive to operate while giving them another thrill ride to promote. It's the bare minimum two birds, one stone technique.
Yeah, I don't think they're wrong completely on that.
No.
For sure.
No. I agreed with everything except for the reason people go to Rock and Roller Coaster. I don't think that's entirely fair. I think that's part of the experience, to be honest with you. Because we've talked for a long time about who could you replace them with at this point. Right. They wouldn't fit, right?
Yeah. Because I think if you were going to keep it Rock and Roller Coaster, you would have to replace it with somebody who's got a catalog that you could use a lot of different songs and they would all kind of make sense.
I mean, what's rock and roll nowadays is like doesn't even exist hardly as far as the charts go. Even the songs like All Rock, when you listen to them, you're like, this isn't rock.
Right. Not in the classic sense.
Traditional sense. Right. No,
So I don't know. Yeah, I agree. I do think that, you know, they're saving money. And Rock and Roller Coaster it cost them a lot in terms of having to refurb for lengthy periods of time in the last couple of years. So to save money on the licensing part, has probably helped to offset some of those maintenance costs that they've had to do.
Do you think it's coincidence that they waited until Aerosmith was essentially dead? I don't mean literally the band members, but their careers pretty much. After the issues that Steven Tyler had recently health-wise.
Right. Well, yeah.
I mean, they had to cancel the tour.
Yeah.
There is obviously a question as to whether they're ever going to perform again.
Right. And film is visibly obviously it's super 25
years old.
So it shows it's something had to change, right? I mean, they clearly don't look like that anymore.
Yeah, they look a little older, just saying.
Right.
Not that they were, because they weren't exactly spring chickens whenever they filmed it. So
no. So yeah.
I think they were already in their 40s at that point, right? Yeah, 25 years ago. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
That was a long time ago. 77, I think, isn't he? Yeah, something like that.
He's up there. So yeah, it's definitely we knew it was going to change soon. It's just,
right.
We weren't sure what was going to happen, but
I got to make sure I ride Rockin'.
Yeah. The list gets longer.
Yeah. Got to make sure I go to Muppet, Tom Sawyer's Island.
The Riverboat.
Yeah. The only thing I'm going to miss, I think that's already going to be closed is Big Thunder, but it'll be back. So
yeah. Dinosaur.
Yeah, Dinosaur, there's a huge list of things that are going to be going away soon.
Yeah, so you gotta there's a lot to try to squeeze in here.
Maybe that was the appeal for 2025. They were just like, you know, if you want to see these things, you're going to have to go in 2025.
You got to go so you can say goodbye to all this stuff.
Yeah, you're going to have to go in early 2025 if you're going to say goodbye to some of these things.
It does seem we've talked about all this stuff too, like with Tom Sawyer Island. They're closing it because probably of recent things that have happened, people, guests jumping into the water, but also a bear showed up. There's gators that were
not
in the water.
Not the country bears.
Right, exactly. So
it wasn't Big Al.
It's too secluded from the park now. that they've had issues that it's addition by subtraction, if that's even a thing. So they're like, hey, we're adding all this stuff, but we're actually closing in the, you know, other. So it's not really, it's a net neutral addition to the
part. You
know what,
though? You really got to wonder, like Walt said in his original speech concerning the Florida project, right? Going to talk about the amount of land that they have. I mean, do they have something against utilizing some of this land?
Yeah, I know.
Because they haven't really utilized much of it lately. Unless there's a problem.
Expensive?
Yeah, maybe.
To create a new park than it is to, like, retool the existing ones?
Not even, like, how many times when they've done these expansions did they actually use new land? It's not very often, right? Fantasyland expansion, they used zero new land that I can see.
Well, maybe, yeah, not much, maybe a little.
Because they were already, that 20,000 leagues care was a piece of real estate, and they pretty much used just that to expand.
Yep. They're kind of doing the same with the Rivers of America. The Villains land will hit some new territory, looks like, but.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. But not a ton.
I mean, is there really that much land that's hard or difficult to actually build on that they find actually develop? I mean, that can actually be developed?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, most everything is just kind of retooling what's already there, but it's not.
I guess it's the disadvantages to building on a swamp. It's only so much the land is buildable.
Right. Yeah. It probably takes a lot of work to make it usable for a new park. So,
okay.
I think we should probably end there, though.
Yes.
I'm thankful for all that we had to talk about today.
I'm thankful for Bob Chapek.
Okay.
No comment there, silence.
You're thankful that he's no longer with the company? Because I'm still thankful for that.
Oh, I got
even
you.
Even though not much has changed. But.
Right.
Anyway.
We got free parking.
Thanks for the free parking.
All right. So you can find us on Facebook, X, and Instagram. That is all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store in which you can get your exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM podcast. We have a YouTube channel in which you can hear the episodes there along with some video. And where can that be found, Adam?
Our website, travelingwiththemouse.com. You can email us podcast at travelingwiththemouse.com. And you can find links to all those things and more there. So, for John, this has been Thanksgiving Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip.
Please.
To read. Thanksgiving.
I should have mentioned at the about my trip. I forgot to put something in there about I had my dining window open, and one of the ones I wanted to get was surprisingly
available.
Frequently available.
Space 220?
Yeah, it hasn't been. Yeah.
Thanks. So you grab space?
Yeah, I do have one currently.